Through this, we will talk about your wife and your children, but right now, the family you grew up with.
The family I grew up with, my father and mother, Walter and Eva Rosenbaum, and two sisters, both younger than myself. The youngest being Ruth, and the middle sister being Madeline. I am the oldest.
All right. Could you tell us what your mother's maiden name was, and maybe a little about where your parents were born, where you were born?
My mother's maiden name was Eva Hyman, H-E-Y-M-A-N-N. She was born in New York City. Her father, who had come over from Germany, was principal of a grammar school in New York City. On my father's side, his father came over from Bavaria in Germany in the middle 1860s.
All right. Did your mother's parents and your father's parents know each other at all in Germany? You didn't mention
no.
Exactly where in Germany your mother's
I don't know.
Family came from.
I don't know.
All right. You had said that your would have been your maternal grandfather was the principal of a grammar school in New York. Was he educated here in the United States, or could he transfer his education that he received in Germany to being a principal here?
Well, apparently he was able to transfer a great deal of it, and I imagine he had to learn the English language fairly well in order to qualify. I did not know him.
That was your grandfather.
The
maternal.
Maternal grandfather.
Mm-hmm. Do you know if your maternal grandmother worked outside the home?
She did not. She was too busy raising seven children.
Seven children. And where did your mother figure in this constellation? Was she an oldest child, youngest?
She was second from the bottom. She was the second youngest of the five boys and two girls.
Are any of them living at this point?
None.
All right. I assume that your mother is probably deceased as well. Could you tell us approximately when that happened?
When what?
When she died.
Uh, 1957.
Yeah. Here in Pittsburgh?
Yes, in Pittsburgh.
Again, getting back to the fact that your grandfather was the principal of a grammar school, was this a religious school or a secular school?
Public school.
A public school.
Right.
Do you know very much about your mother's family's interest in and practices in terms of Judaism?
No, I don't know too much. I do have a family history. The book is in Hebrew and English. That is a prayer book of that time.
Mm-hmm.
In which family births and deaths are recorded. I would imagine that they practiced Judaism to a certain extent, but they were not particularly religious. What branch of Judaism they belong to, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Was your mother educated beyond grade school, high school? I'm not sure.
High school. She went to high school.
And did she work before she met and married your father?
No.
Okay. Mr. Rosenbaum, could you tell us a little more about your father's family, in particular your paternal grandfather, your paternal grandmother, uncles and aunts on that side of the family?
Well, apparently they did the same thing that a lot of the early immigrants did. My grandfather came over to this country in the 1860s and then gradually brought over the rest of the family. My grandfather founded one of the major department stores in Pittsburgh, the Rosenbaum Company, and he had four daughters and two boys. My father was third eldest and went into the business with him.
Did your paternal grandmother work in the family business? Was this traditional at that time?
No, she did not. She, which I found out recently, was active as a member of the community, the Jewish community, and trying to think of the Jewish organization that preceded the National Council of Jewish Women. She was secretary. You have that name, I'm sure.
If we don't, I'm sure we can get it. That is quite interesting.
But I found that out recently.
So then, did your paternal grandparents settle here in Pittsburgh?
Yes, we stayed here.
Stayed here. And your maternal grandparents settled in New York City. Then how did your father and mother meet?
He had a brother who visited Pittsburgh in the line of his business and met several of the families here. I thought it would be nice if his sister met someone nice in Pittsburgh. So when my father went to New York to visit, he looked her up. And that was how they first met, and they became engaged.
And I'm assuming that when they married, they came here to Pittsburgh, not only because your father was from Pittsburgh, but was your father heavily involved in the family business?
Yes, oh yes, he was a member of the firm.
He was a member of the firm? Do you mean by that all of the brothers and sisters were members of the firm?
No, no. Some of the sisters married, several remained single, and the other brother died at a very young age. When I say young, relatively young, in his early 30s.
So then it was primarily your grandfather and your father who were involved with the business.
Well, then my grandfather's sister married a man by the name of Max Rothschild, unfortunately not related to the other Rothschild family. There were several Rothschilds. And he later became head of the Rosenbaum Company, that my grandfather relinquished. Mm-hmm. And he became head of it.
When your mother and father first married here in Pittsburgh, what part of the city did they settle in? Where did they live?
Most of them were settling in Allegheny. The big influx of Jewish immigrants did not come until several years later.
Mm-hmm.
When they settled in the hill or went to live with relatives in various parts of the city. But the big Jewish community in those days was over in Allegheny.
And that's where your mother and father settled and had their family?
No.
No?
The old folks stayed there for a while. I was born on North St. Clair Street in 1906. That's in the East Liberty District near Highland Park. So obviously my folks had moved from Allegheny.
Yeah.
And the trend then was to move from Allegheny to the city, the outskirts of the city, the East End District, which ultimately became the first hub of the Jews in Pittsburgh.
Mm.
That also at that time the temple, the Rotifilm Temple, was down I think on 8th Street. And they had just built it in the past year or so. And then all of a sudden there was that exiting from Allegheny, and within 2 years they sold the temple and built the present Rotifilm Temple because they had the foresight to see that the growth of the city was going to be out this way. How lucky they were, I don't know.
Were your parents always affiliated with that particular temple?
Yes.
They were?
Yes, my father joined it in the early 1880s.
And so you and all of your...
Well, he might have been joined earlier, but the reason I know that he definitely was a member there was because when they bought the big cemetery out in Westview, they all went out on a certain day to buy lots. And there's a record of everybody who bought a plot there. So you could also determine your genealogy, how far back you go, if you want to dig into it a little bit.
Oh my, there's lots of things
well,
to do.
In the date they bought the plots, when did you say?
About 1880.
1880.
And not having to do with the recording, it was interesting what they did. They all met and packed a picnic lunch. They all rode out on a Sunday. It's a better record.
Mm-hmm.
They auctioned off the plots. And my grandfather bought an 8-family plot, 8-person plot, for $100.
Oh my, that is interesting. You said they rode out there. How did
horse
they go?
And buggy.
And worse than that,
oh, yeah. I wasn't living at that.
That was 16 years before you were born.
Yeah, may I ask a question here? With regarding to Max Rothschild, who was your great uncle?
Uncle Max.
Did he have offspring who entered the business as well?
No. Well, a few on and off, but they weren't permanent. No. You gave work to people if they wanted it fine. That's the way the families operated.
Well, apparently you followed your father into the business at Rosenbaum's.
Right.
Is that so?
Correct.
And that was your primary business. I mean, you just didn't do this as a sideline. And were you, you'll have to forgive me, I don't know a whole lot about Rosenbaum's store, but were you in upper level management or were you a buyer in charge of hiring?
I went through the ranks. I attended the First University of Pittsburgh School for Retail Training, which was sponsored by the department stores. The merchants in Pittsburgh had good vision. They were aggressive merchants. I understand that the retail training bureau turned into the Pittsburgh School of Business Administration. I stayed with the Rosenbaum Company until 1938-39, when I left to go into other fields.
What was the date that the retail training started?
Mm-hmm. 1924 and 1925.
So then you went to grade school and high school
in Pittsburgh.
Here in Pittsburgh. Since you lived on St. Clair Street, would it have been Peabody High School?
No. My family moved when I was 4 or 5 years old. 5 years old. The corner of Bartlett and Shady Avenue. Squirrel Hill. That, I think, was in 1912.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking now, let's see, you must have gone almost immediately from high school to the retail training school at the University of Pittsburgh.
Well, I went to college for several years. I went into the business.
And then you went to the retail training institute. Wondering about your home, the home in which you were raised. You mentioned your family's affiliation with the temple. You've also talked somewhat about their affiliation with the Jewish community in terms of going to buy cemetery plots and other things like that.
About what? In terms of what?
Buying cemetery plots. That was your grandfather, I think.
Yeah.
To begin with. Okay. So, they lived in this general area. In terms of your childhood memories, would you say that your home was a fairly traditional home where the father was definitely dominant and very much the person in charge, and the mother was rather submissive and stayed back and just had that sort of role? How do you think you would describe it?
I would describe it as a very moderate to liberal home. Everybody was equal. My mother both had a good personality. My mother was a fairly strong personality. My father was in the business, and my mother ran the house, raised the children, had her own social life. We call it a middle-class family.
Okay.
And that's the way the majority of the Jewish community in those days had lived. There were some, of course, who weren't that fortunate, but they were always taken care of. The Columbiana Society, that's the name I'm thinking of.
Oh, good. I'm glad you thought about that. If a child in your family misbehaved or spoke out of turn, how was that particular situation handled?
By admonishment, number one. Very little corporal punishment. You would get a punch on the behind or something to remind you, and you didn't do it again, and that was it. There was a certain amount of discipline, and that discipline extended, which stayed with me, and my sister, I'm sure, all the way down to your personal way of life. That is a personal living. I allude to being taking care of your own room, taking care of your own clothes, and good toilet etiquette for the next person. And one thing I think of interest, of course, you had, a lot of people had help in those days. And they were usually what they called greenies coming over from Germany and Austria. And they would live in the house. And one of the things that was inculcated in us early was that these people are human beings. They're not there to be your personal servants. And therefore, we do not expect them to pick up after you. And I always thought that was a pretty good philosophy.
Yes, a very enlightened household, I would say. I'm somewhat surprised. I guess lots of times we have stereotyped views of the ways in which life differed then from the way in which they differ now. It doesn't sound very much different at all.
Well, I'm sure there were other, most of the homes were like that,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure. Of course, you have to remember this was a group.
Sure.
It was a group. And while I mingled, not only in school, with other children, other boys and girls, and all my life, each group had their own ways of living, but as they lived, they developed certain mores and habits and rules, and I'm sure the vast majority also lived according to that.
Mm-hmm. When you mentioned greenies, were they called greenies because they had green cards?
No.
No.
They were just newlies, newcomers.
Right.
They were immigrants. They couldn't talk a word of English.
Okay.
And there would be big competition when some of them came on to see who could pick out the best cooks. That was the deal. And a lot of them preferred Viennese over German because they could make the Viennese pastry.
Very good idea.
And I think they were paid the magnificent sum of $5 or $6 a week if they had their room and board and set hours if they worked. And it wasn't very long. They never stayed too long, maybe a couple of years, and they could better themselves.
Mm-hmm. And then
and
they would
did.
Move on.
And they'd move on.
Sounds like it's quite interesting. You mentioned that when you probably were of school age, you were living here in Squirrel Hill, and you did go to public schools.
Yeah.
How about your religious education? Where was that conducted? In the home? Anything with the temple?
I confirmed the Rotorfield Temple in 1922. As far as the home was concerned, we practiced Reform Judaism. We kept all the holidays. The family participated as a unit, had services in the home, and every Friday night we had the service at that time was the lighting of the candles and the reading of a prayer. And the children each had to read a certain section of it, and we all memorized it, and that was it. But first of all, you have to understand, in those days, the temple was the social center of everything, educational, religious, and things. And my family, my mother and father, were involved not only in the temple, but outside the temple in other activities. But my mother was heavily involved in the temple, in the sisterhood, in the sewing, things like that. And music, she was on the music committee in the temple, and the Y, by the way, she was one of the first members of the Y music committee.
Very interesting. I'm going to... This has been really interesting so far. I wonder if you could tell us... I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about the life of the city here in Pittsburgh. I've gotten the idea that the life of the city pretty much centered around the community, and community activities were very much influenced by what was happening at the temple or the things radiated from that particular area. Your family, I know, lived on the corner of I believe it was Shady and Bartlett, or Shady and Beacon. Were there many other Jewish families living in that area at the time?
There were relatively few families in Squirrel Hill that early. They'd been there for some time, some of the families. If you noticed on some of the streets, well, you wouldn't know, but I remember the names of people that had lived on the streets and built their homes or bought them there. The influx started to come around 1914 and 15. And that's where the subdivision, you want to know the history of the city, that's where the subdivision came north of 4th and south of 4th. Where the people who wanted bigger and better homes bought or built north of 4th, and those who could only afford so much were more heavily populated went south of 4th. We were one block south of 4th. In a nice home.
Well, that's unsuitable for a middle income. You were right straddling the borderline.
Up the middle.
When you had mentioned that there were relatively few families.
Okay. I want to go back to this. And the reason I'm saying what I'm saying is I went to Colfax School. Colfax is relatively new. And I can tell, I have a picture of the 8th grade class taken in 1919. At that time, I would say a good a third of that class, if not more, were Jewish boys and girls. Now that one in 5 years was a mass movement from the Hill, from Allegheny, and from East Liberty. Now East Liberty was very viable for a while, because that's when Paul Zadig and F.J. Sharon were all built in that period of time.
Well, thank you very much. Actually, you talked about some of the things that I was going to be asking you about, and the next thing I wanted to talk about were your school days. And you've already mentioned Colfax, your school days, that you went to Colfax School, and by the time you were in eighth grade, a third of your class were Jewish boys and girls. There had been quite a turnover. Where did you go to high school?
Shenley High School.
Was Taylor Alderdice built at that particular time?
Taylor Alderdice, I don't think, was built from 1926 or 27.
All right. So you went to Shenley High School. Would you say that the public schools at that time, and Shenley in particular, had maybe even a quarter of their population were Jewish boys and girls?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, from Colfax, we had a choice. Either Peabody or Shenley. Mm-hmm. That's the way I believe they worked in the school system. They gave you a choice for high school. So that our class split. Although I think more than half went to Shenley and the rest went to Peabody.
Mm-hmm.
And the educational system was good in those days.
Yes, I was wondering if you had very much choice in the course of study that you took, and which one in particular you did take.
High school?
In high school,
I took just a general academic course. Yes, you had counselors, you could go where you wanted and take what you wanted, but then beyond the ordinary basic subject.
This is the end of the first side of this particular tape. Session 1, and the side of the tape is side A. We're going to continue on the back.